Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Young Kim, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick International Small and Mid-Cap Strategy and Emerging Market Small Cap Strategy. Welcome, Young. Young, the start of 2026 has not been for the faint of heart. We are continuing to see increased volatility on a daily basis, influenced by geopolitical risks, as well as AI and its potential long-term influence. Can you give your view of market performance lately and the strategy's relative performance?
Yes, you're right. Early 2026 has felt very choppy. If you step back and look at headline index levels, markets look relatively flat for the quarter, but underneath the surface, there's been a lot going on a day-to-day basis. Geopolitics has clearly been a major driver. The war in Iran pushed energy prices higher, making energy the standout sector of the quarter, and defense-oriented industries also perform very strongly. And at the same time, we are seeing continued momentum in the quote-unquote AI trade, driving strength in areas like semiconductor capital equipment and driving sector-wide sell-offs in areas like software and IT services. There is an ongoing debate around AI, both in terms of its long-term potential and near-term disruption risk. And that combination tends to create uncertainty. For our strategy, performance in this type of environment has been mixed. On the one hand, many of our businesses are executing well fundamentally, while some of our businesses, on the other hand, were affected by investor concerns around AI disruption, and this has repriced stocks across a broad set of industries. When markets are dominated by macro headlines or narrow themes, quality-oriented strategies like ours can lag in relative terms, even if fundamentals remain intact. So I would characterize recent relative performance as more of a reflection of sentiment and factor leadership rather than a deterioration in the underlying earnings power of our portfolio.
Young, can you talk about the impact of the invasion of Iran and the spike in oil prices on the strategy, both directly and indirectly?
Sure. In terms of direct impact, our exposure to energy producers or commodity-linked businesses is relatively limited. So we are not seeing a large first-order impact on our portfolio companies from higher oil prices. Indirectly, however, higher energy prices can matter in a few ways. They can affect inflation expectations, pressure certain cost structures, and influence consumer sentiment, particularly in energy importing regions. And that can show up as increased volatility in equity prices even before it shows up meaningfully in reported results. If you look at our portfolio, we tend to focus on businesses that have durable competitive advantages, which often enable the company to pass on cost increases to customers over time. This helps mitigate second-order risks around a potential increase in inflation that could result from the current oil supply disruption. But of course, geopolitical events like this in the short term can temporarily weigh on valuations across the board, even for companies that aren't directly impacted. So to sum it up, I would say limited direct impact, but the recent spike in oil prices could have second-order effects on some of our businesses, but we think our portfolio companies are well-positioned to manage those risks over time.
Young, can you discuss any holdings within the strategies where AI obsolescence fear has had an impact on performance and why you continue to hold them?
Yes, definitely. That's been an important theme this year. We've seen AI-related obsolescence fears impact several areas where we have exposure to, including IT services, online classifieds, and certain financial services businesses such as wealth management companies and insurance brokerage businesses. In some cases, the concern is that large language models or consumer-facing AI tools could disintermediate traditional search, broking, or service models. Markets tend to price these risks very quickly, often well before there is real evidence of earnings impact. When we evaluate these situations, we ask a few key questions. What is the key value add that the company provides, and is that impaired or could that be weakened over time as AI technology continues to evolve? Does AI represent a threat, or can it be a productivity and product enhancement tool? These questions are not always easy to answer, but important for us to think deeply about for every business that we invest in. So as we go through this assessment process for each of our portfolio companies, we have made the decision to sell and trim some of our positions in cases where we felt uncertainty has increased materially and competitive protections look weaker. And in several other cases, we continue to hold our portfolio companies because we believe the fears seem overstated and that AI is more likely to be an incremental enabler rather than an existential threat. So we are not dismissing the risk, but we are trying to distinguish between headline disruption anxiety and true long-term obsolescence.
Hyung, Asian technology names, particularly in Taiwan and Korea, continue to perform strongly. Can you speak about the strategy's exposure here and the inherent risks within the space?
You're right. Asian technology companies, particularly in Taiwan and Korea, have indeed performed strongly, largely driven by optimism around the AI data center build-out and related semiconductor demand. While we do have some limited and indirect exposure to this, our overall positioning reflects a degree of caution rather than broad participation in what has become a very crowded trade. At a high level, we do not have significant exposure to many of the direct beneficiaries of the AI data center boom. While the industry is clearly experiencing a powerful near-term upswing, we believe it is very difficult to distinguish which businesses will ultimately have durable long-term earnings power versus those that are primarily benefiting from a rising tide and may face normalization or even downturns when conditions change. A good example of this dynamic is the memory segment. Recent performance has been driven largely by a cyclical supply shortage and improving pricing. The long-term outlook remains uncertain. Supply can respond over time and demand dynamics can change as architectures evolve and efficiency is gained, which could alter memory intensity. Our underweight exposure here has certainly detracted from relative performance recently, but we believe our responsibility is to allocate capital thoughtfully and avoid overexposure to areas where long-term fundamentals are difficult to assess and downside risk is asymmetric if expectations reset. We remain focused on companies with clear competitive advantages, more resilient business models, and earnings that are less dependent on a single CapEx cycle. We are prepared to tolerate periods of short-term underperformance if it helps us preserve capital and avoid permanent impairment over a full market cycle. While the current strength in Asian technology is undeniable, our cautious stance reflects discipline rather than pessimism. We remain selective, patient, and focused on long-term sustainability, even when that means stepping back from the hottest parts of the market.
Hyung, can you discuss a few of the strategy's holdings that were standout detractors and contributors to performance for the first quarter?
Sure. The top contributors were VAT Group and Kaisha Segridaji. VAT Group is a high-quality company that's based in Switzerland that manufactures high-performance vacuum valves for various industries, with the semiconductor industry being a meaningful driver of demand recently. Shares were strong in the first quarter alongside semiconductor equipment peers, with the anticipation that the sector will be a beneficiary of continued strength in AI-related spending. While VAT is benefiting from the semiconductor cycle today, our thesis never relied solely on this booming cycle. In our view, this company has a clear competitive advantage and we believe its earnings power has long-term durability. The next one, Kaisha Segridaji, is one of the largest insurance brokers in Brazil. The company had decent results recently, but we think its strong share price performance this quarter was more of a reflection of the strength of the broader Brazilian market rather than company-specific news. Now, turning to detractors, the biggest detractions came from Lectra and Monotaro. Lectra is a global leader in high-end automated textile cutting equipment and has a strong market position in fashion industry software. Shares underperformed as customer demand for new equipment remains depressed and may face additional headwinds arising from the conflict in the Middle East. Additionally, we believe Lectra's underperformance also reflects some concerns about AI disruption, given that the company has some vertical SaaS solutions. Monotaro is a leading distributor of maintenance, repair, and operations, in short, MRO products in Japan. Its shares pulled back recently as investors reassessed recent market share gains, some of which were retained but proved less durable than initially hoped, following a competitor's prior misstep. The stock was further pressured by a slower-than-expected pace in expanding its business with larger enterprise customers.
Kyung, lastly, valuations for the strategies are well below what you would find for domestic quality strategies in the U.S. on a P.E. basis and are in line relatively with the overall index. Can you speak to why this is a good near-term entry point and the outlook for longer-term earnings growth in the strategies versus their respective indices?
Yes, this is something that I feel we should highlight. On a relative basis, international and emerging market small-cap equities continue to trade at a meaningful discount to the U.S., despite comparable and in some cases better long-term earnings growth characteristics. Our portfolio on average has historically traded at a slight valuation premium to the benchmark, given the higher quality characteristics and resilient earnings profiles. But during the past few quarters, our portfolio valuation has come down, and we are now seeing our portfolio valuation being more or less in line with the benchmark. When valuations are in line with the index, but the quality and fundamentals of the underlying businesses remain strong, we think this creates an interesting setup, especially in an environment where U.S. assets are priced for a lot of optimism. Equity returns in the long run are driven by earnings, and if you look at our portfolio, the past 10-year and 5-year earnings growth on average have been above 10%, and we think investment returns long-term should be at levels commensurate with long-term business results, especially when starting valuation multiple is attractive.
Kyung, as always, thank you for taking the time to provide your insight to our KaneCast listeners.
You've just listened to KaneCast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.kane.com. KaneCast is the official podcast series of Kane Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.